Daf is Daf Chaf Ches. So the Mishnah begins on the top. He hamevi get v'nicha zaken el cholam. A person brought a get. He was a get. He was a shliach l'holacha. He was supposed to bring the get from the husband to the wife. And when he left the husband was a very old man, or perhaps he was very ill. So the lacha is the Mishnah says no sein la b'cheskas shukaim. When you give the get, it's safe to assume that the person is still alive, even though he was old and even though he was sick. We could assume he's still alive. Why could we make such an assumption? So Rashi explains, "Nosna la becheska shukaim, v'lo chayshin on shema meis u'batel shlichuso." We're not concerned. Maybe he died, and the shlichus is completely batel. Mederaisa nafkalam b'hakol shochtin. In the first parak of Chulin, it's learned out from a deraisa hemid davar el cheskaso. The source is based on negayim. When a kohen goes to check the bias and he finds a nega inside and he leaves, we can assume the nega is still there even though he left. Maybe something changed. So the Torah tells us that it's okay to assume that way. So it's a din deraisa. So too, chazaka works by negayim. It works all over Shas. So here too as well, it's a chazaka that since when he was given the get, the husband was still alive, we could assume he's still alive. Now what's interesting here is the way Rashi understands this to be batel shlichuso, the Rambam says differently. The Rambam says when the husband were to die, then the get is no longer in the reshus of the husband anymore because he's dead. He doesn't have ownership. Rashi says because the husband dies, the shlichus is completely batel. So it's slightly different. So they point out this is very parallel to another machlokas Rashi Rambam. Let's say the husband loses his mind. He's still alive, but he becomes a shote. So they both agree that there's a machlokas, whether or not it still works. The shlichus is still good. Rashi holds the shlichus isn't good because the husband's doesn't have the capability anymore. So therefore, the shlichus is batel. Rambam holds since he's still alive, even though he's a shote, he's still alive. There is still bilus on the get, and the get can still carry through. So that's a machlokas in general. It sounds like it depends on how one understands a shlucho sha'adam kamoso, whether he represents the husband or not representing the husband. So part of a different discussion, but there's a subtle difference here between Rashi and the Rambam. Then the Mishnah says, Bas Yisrael hanesu l'kohen, a woman who's married to a kohen and is allowed to eat chuma, v'halach baila l'medinas hayam, and her husband goes overseas, she's ocheles b'chuma b'cheskes shukaim. She doesn't have to assume that he died. She could continue to eat. He left when he was healthy and he was alive, so she could continue to eat, even though she doesn't know exactly where he is and what his status is. And the third case of the Mishnah is Hashaleach chatasa m'medinas hayam. A person sends a carbon chatas from overseas to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash. The Kohanim makrivin osa v'cheskes shukaim. The Kohanim could assume that the man or woman is still alive, and he could still bring the carbon. We're not concerned with the Misa. So these three cases are all similar in that we're not choshesh for Misa. So the Achorim have a suffix in the first scenario of the Mishnah. The first scenario of the Mishnah is of a zakin or a chola. What if it's a zakin who is a chola? He happens to be old and sick. Will that make matters worse or not? So some say it will make matters worse, and others say no, it's the same exact din, even if it's both together. So the Gemara now says, Amarav. Actually, one interesting point here. The Ma'aril writes that a person shouldn't daven for a chola who's found in another city, because it's possible that either he died or possibly he got healthy, and you'd be saying a tefillah shav. So you don't know the status of him, so one shouldn't daven if you don't know his actual status at that moment. So the Nachla Shiva argues, based on the Gemara here, we don't assume that he died. We assume that he's still alive, even if you're in another city. So therefore, one's allowed to daven for a chola, even if you don't know his actual status now. Okay. The Gemara now says, Amar Rava, lo shanu ela zaken shalogia l'gvuros v'chola shirov cholam l'chaim. Our whole discussion where we assume that the husband's still alive is when he's talking about someone who's old, who didn't yet reach the age of gvuros, says Rashi, l'gvuros is shmonim shana l'shana l'kral. The pasuk would say every Shabbos. So gvuros, if he didn't reach the shmonim shana, so we could assume he's still alive. Under the age of 80, he's still healthy. And a chola, we're talking a regular illness, and since most people who get sick get healthy, so that's why we could assume he's still alive. Aval says the Gemara, Zakin Shigil Gvuros, if a Zakin reaches the age of 80, then there's already a Safek, then you can't assume he's still alive if it was sent from overseas. And further, a Gose is a person who's sick, who's so ill, how we define Gose here? Incapacitated, I guess?
It says more than that, it says death throes.
Okay, so he's pretty much dead.
That's more than Shkiv Meirah.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess so, yeah. So there's a discussion, actually. The first Mishnah Very apropos, actually, to this week's parsha. The Masechtos Katanos, found at the end of Masechtos Avodah Zarah, has small little Masechtos, like Brisos, and one of them is called Masechtos Smachos, which is a euphemism. It's really a Masechtos and Avelos, but it's called Masechtos Smachos. So there's an introduction to the Masechtos Smachos. It talks about when HaKadosh Baruch Hu had inflicted Mitzrayim with Makas Becharos, so he inflicted them with it at Chatzos, but they didn't die until the very morning. So what's the point? Why is that an introduction to Masechtos Smachos? So the very first halacha after that introduction is that a goses is lemisa l'chol davar, I think. But I don't think, misa l'chol davar. So the way they explain it, once in one of the achronim, that since HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a Kohen, the Gemara says, so he's not allowed to be metame meis. So if he himself was the one who killed, he be'atzma, we say in the Haggadah, he himself inflicted makas b'choros. So he couldn't touch them, because then he would be a Kohen, he can't become metame meis. So he inflicted them with this slow death, slow illness that will die a few hours later. So this way he didn't have to touch them. He made them into a goses. So he's allowed to touch a goses. So I'm saying, I think the first halacha says, a goses is not tame. So he made them into a goses. You see there that a goses is not yet tame, but it's almost dead. So either way, so the Gemara says, a goses, shirov gosim lemisa lo. But if he was in the state of being a goses, so then, halacha is, and he's going to, and most gosim die, then if one is bringing a get from a person who is a goses, we would assume he may have died before it getting to the wife. The Gemara asks now, Eisive, Abaye asks, Hamevi get v'hinicho zakin, hafilu ben mea shana nosin la becheska shu kaim. So if the Brisa says, if he's 100 years old, and you leave him, so then we can assume he's still alive, against what we're saying here, against what Rava says. Rava says only up until the age of 80, but above the age of 80, we assume that he died in the interim. The Gemara says, you're right, it's a tiyufta, it's a very good kasha, it's a tiyufta no Rava. Rava cannot go against the Brisa, so Rava therefore must be wrong. Ibai same alternatively, came into iflig. Nope. Normally above the age of 80, we assume he died. But came in iflig, once he already separated, Rashi says, iflig. Veinu kishar adam, he's very different than any other person. Leos karv lamus, v'aval ben shmon v'achas, o yoser atishim karv lamus hu. From the age of 80 to 90, so that's already where people die. But once you reach the age of 90 and above, or the age of 100, you already took off, you've escaped the malchum avos, it seems, so we can't assume you're going to die anymore. You've broken records. Again, then may have been different than now, in terms of ages of 90. And I'm not sure either why Rashi says the age of 90 is already considered iflug, even though the Gemara says at the age of 100.
So according to Rava, once you're over 80, you can't divorce your wife? Unless you hand it to her by yourself?
Exactly. That's what it turns out, according to Rava. Gemara now asks, Rami le Abaye le Rabba. Abaye asks Rabba Tanan. Misha tells us that Hamevi get, v'hinicho zake no chole, he leaves aside the husband, and he's older when he was sick. Nosin labecheska shukaim, as the Mishnah taught us, that you could, when the get's given to the wife, we can assume that the husband's still alive. Where minhu, the Gemara asks now, hareza gitech shahachas kodom misaso, the husband who happens to be a Kohen, and the wife is allowed to eat truma, he says to her, here's the get, it's going to take effect 1 hour before I die. So if he's 60 now, and dies at the age of 95, so he'll die an hour before 95. Okay, but what's the halacha though? She's asked to eat chuma right away. So we see from there that we are choshesh lemisa. We're going to assume he might die any second. So that means any second is the second before he may die. So therefore we are concerned with misa. How come in the Mishnah we're not concerned with misa and we assume that the husband's still alive when he gets given to the wife? So the Gemara responds, Amar lei chuma agitin karamis. You're asking a question from chuma to gitin. They're two different worlds. When it comes to chuma, we can be machmer and say she shouldn't eat chuma because she can eat chulin and she'll be able to survive. So therefore, we can be machmer in that case. When it comes to gittin, get lo efshir. It's not possible for get this case situation to work out. Why not? So Rashi explains around 15 lines up from the bottom. Get lo efshir, the mechash lemisa. When it comes to get, you can't be concerned of misa because the chayshis. If you're concerned that he might die any second. No one's going to send the get to his wife because the get's not going to be effective because they're going to assume he's dead if he's overseas. So they're not going to send gets. And once you're limiting that possibility of sending gets, there are going to be many women who are going to be agunos because the husbands are only willing to give a get if they're going to hand it to them. If it's from overseas, there's a concern they may have died, so they're not going to even consider the get being a good get. And that really limits the women's abilities to be free and single in such situations. So therefore, they were not machmir when it came to a get, that he may have died any second. The Gemara says, okay, fine. So let's ask Rami Chuma Chuma. So let's ask from a question of Chuma to another area of Chuma, which is what? So the Gemara quotes from a Mishnah, Tanan Bas Yisrael Hanusu L'Kohen. A girl is married to a Kohen, so she eats Chuma. V'halach Baila L'Medina Sayam, her Kohen husband goes overseas. Ocheles B'Chuma B'Cheska Shehu Kayim. So she could continue to eat, assuming her, she can assume that her husband is still alive and she eats Chuma. So the problem here is, we're minhu, the same price we brought above, Hareza Gidech Shach Haskod Misa. So the Kohen gives her wife, his wife, a get and says it will take effect a few moments before I die. Asur lechel b'chuma miyad. There we say she can't eat chuma right away because there's a concern that any second he might die. So how come by the case of giving the get, she cannot eat chuma right away, but a guy just going overseas, she can continue to eat chuma? So these are both in the world of chuma, yet there's a stira, whether she can continue to eat chuma or not continue to eat chuma. So Amar Rav Adab Rei de Rav Yitzchak, shiny hasam, there is different. Shareyas asur alav sha'achas kodam misasa. It's different. The husband already began the process of trying to asur her by giving the get. Yes, nothing takes effect yet, but the direction things are going on, it's already beginning that process of making her asur. So therefore, we're going to take it the full way and say she's going to be asur legamri, and she cannot eat truma. As opposed to the other case, which is a stam case, who goes overseas, no one initiated that process of being asur, and therefore she remains mutter. Well, says, this is a very strange answer, because maskula rapapa, I mean, my... Di'u ma'is bereisha. Who says that he's going to die first? He ma'is bereisha. Maybe she'll die first, and everything's going to be very, very different. There'll never be a get. So if that's the case, it's not a good. It's not a good explanation. So again, why in one brisa she's allowed to eat truma and can assume her husband's alive, and the other case she has to assume her husband may have died. So El Amar Abaye explains Lo Kasha. Ha Rabbi Meir de Lo Chayish Lamisa. Rabbi Yehuda de Chayish Lamisa. It depends. There's machlokas Tanaim between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, which we saw in the past already. What's this machlokas? The Tanaim, the Mishnah tells us that halokech yain mi bein hakusim, a person purchases wine from among the kusim, and we have to assume they didn't take any chumer meiser away. So now I bought it. They may have, but I don't know for sure. So what do I say? Omer shnei lugim. I have 100 lug of wine here. So I say shnei lugim, 2 lugim, which is 1/50th. Shani asud la'afrisha. I'm going to eventually separate. Harehin chuma. They will become chuma. I didn't separate them, but I'm going to leave on the end 2 lug for chuma. And then now he's 98 left in the bottle of wine. He says the asara, 10 of it, of the 98 now, is going to be meiser rishon. So now he has 88 that's considered chulim. So then he has to take another set of meiser. So a tenth of 88 is around 9, 8.8, around 9. So Tisha, the 9 lugin, I'm going to see Meiser Sheni. Umechel, and then he takes that Meiser Sheni that he hasn't yet figured out where it is, but wherever that Meiser Sheni is in this bottle of wine, it should be Mechel and something else. So now it's Chulin that's in there. Veshosa Miyad, and he could drink the wine, and he's going to leave over the end 12 lug, 2 lug for the Chuma, 10 lug for the Meiser Rishon, and there's no Meiser Sheni there anymore because he already was Podet onto some money. That's all according to Divrei Rabbi Meir, and that's permitted. But Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Osun, they forbid this because there's a concern, as Rashi says in the very last line here, Shema Yivaka Hanad. Perhaps, no, maybe the no, maybe this little pouch, this little canteen is going to break and you'll never end up taking the mafresh chuma and rice in the end. So because of that concern. So just like Rabbi Yehuda, it's Choshesh, Shema Yivaka Hanad, something might change, the canteen might break, so too he's concerned that a person might die. And he's therefore machmir in the case of the Kohen going overseas or giving the get to the wife a second before he dies. We're concerned he might have died and she can't eat it. But according to Rabbi Meir, who's not concerned that the node might break, he's not concerned of these things, these events happening. So he would say so too. He's not concerned of meat happening and she can continue to eat and assume that her husband's still alive. Marnell says, the last couple words on the page here, Rav Amar Rava says, Shema Mace Lo Chashinan, Shema Yamos Chashinan. He has a different distinction. It's not who the author is. It's not Rabbi Meir versus Rabbi Yehuda. There's two different types of concerns. One is a Shema Mace. Perhaps he died. We're not concerned that he died in the past. But Shema Yamos Chashinan, we are concerned that he might die any given second. So when she's eating Shuma, and it's a case where the Kohen goes overseas, she could eat because we don't assume that he died. But we are going to assume that he will die at some point. That's something that does happen, and it will happen very soon. Not very soon, it will happen. So therefore, any second could be that potential time where he might die, or he will die soon, or be the hour before he dies, and therefore we're machmir when it comes to the case of the get taking effect an hour before he dies. Let's just look at Rashi. Rashi says this on the top of Chaf Ches Mabez. Shema meis lo chashinam, deo kminan achazaka shenichuchai. We don't assume that he died in the past. We assume the chazaka that he's still alive, like he was when he went overseas. V'gavei kohen shalach lemedina sayam, kevin shalo girsha, eno nesars elam kin meis. Avazu shenosin laget, by the case where the husband gave a get, al menash shiachal shah, chaskodem lemisasov, that's going to take effect an hour before he actually dies. L'shema yomus, miyad vandei chashinan. We are concerned he might die any given second. V'lo marle l'chazaka v'hachim. That doesn't mean the chazaka. Yes, we assume he's alive right now, but it doesn't mean he might not die an hour later. So that's the difference according to Rava. So the Gemara now says, Amar le Rav Ada bar Masna le Rava v'ha node kishema yamusu. Isn't a node similar to a case of he might die v'pligi, and there's a machlokas? So how come Rava says it comes to shema yamus? Everyone agrees it's not a concern. When it comes to Shema Yivaka node, it's a machlokas. What's the difference between the concern of it breaking and the concern of him dying? So Amar Rav Yehuda midiskarta shiny node. No, node's very different. The Efshe Shemaser Leila Shomer. Since a node can be given to a Shomer and you could protect it and preserve it and watch over it, there's no concern that it might break. But when it comes to he might die, everyone agrees that it is a concern. You can't have a shomer of someone's health, someone's ability to die. That's up to Hashem. So therefore, everyone would agree there is a concern of Shema Yomus. Shema Yivaka, no, it is not a concern because you could protect it. That's up to man. It's in the hand of man to protect that. So that's the difference according to Rav Yehuda. So maskalar Rav Misharsha Arvacha Arvatarach. If it's about a shomer, so the shomer should have another shomer. Should there be multiple shomerim to make sure that it's going to remain? Nothing bad will happen. So Ella Amar Rav. Rav says Shema Meis Lo Chashinan Shem Yamos Tanahi. You're right. When it comes to that he may have died, no one's concerned that no one's kosher. He died because that's the chazak in the past. But lest it come to Shema Yomus that he will die, that's a machlokas. In other words, the same machlokas we had between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, that Shema Yivaka Hanod, it's the same machlokas we have now about Shema Yomus that he might die. If you're concerned that it might break, the bottle might break, then you would be concerned that he might die. And if you're not concerned that the bottle might break, then you wouldn't be concerned that he might die. And it's the same exact machlokas according to the way Rava concludes. Okay, the Gemara now says, Hashaleach chatasim b'dinas hayam. A person sends a carbon from overseas. So then the lach is we could assume he's alive still, and the coin is marked with the carbon. V'haba ina smicha, but don't you require smicha? Every carbon requires smicha to place your hands and all the pressure of your weight and body weight on the animal. So if a person's overseas, how do you accomplish smicha? So Tosfos points out before we get to the answer. On the top line here, he says, even though smicha is not makev, the carbon will still be a good carbon, even without smicha. We advise, we encourage, there's a Torah, tell us that you're supposed to do smicha, so we can't just forego it just for nothing. So a person is supposed to do smicha if it's possible, so we can't just get rid of it. So how are you going to accomplish smicha when the guys overseas send a chatas to the base of Mikdash? So answer the Gemara very simply. Amar Rav Yosef b'karbonashim. Talk about karbonashim, and women don't do the smicha. The Gemara tells us that women are part of the smicha. There's a machlokas whether they're allowed to do smicha or not, or whether they're completely removed from smicha and they can't do it if they want to. But certainly, there's no chiyah for them to do smicha different than men. How do we know that there's no smicha for women? Rashi explains around 10 narrow lines down. He says b'karbonashim isha sheshaga b'karis v'shalcha chatasa. A woman violates an avera bakaris b'shogeg though, so you give a chatas. Any carbon, any avera that's bakaris b'mezid, b'shogeg you bring a chatas. So she sends the chatas. The gavi smicha tanya, the Gemara in Kedushin, daber b'nei Yisrael v'samach b'nei Yisrael, somchim, v'samach. B'nei Yisrael Samchin Vein B'nos Yisrael Samcha. So only men do the smicha, women do not do the smicha. So we're talking about a situation of Karban Nashim where women sent them and there is no chiv smicha. But Ein Hanami, a man, sounds like a man couldn't send from overseas. Papa Amar Bechatas Ha'of. Mechatas Ha'of and Mechatas Ha'of doesn't have a din of smicha either. So one of those two cases. So men can send it only by Mechatas Ha'of. Other scenarios, he cannot send it. There are a bunch of sugyas elsewhere that talk about men, even men are able to send it. There's a long tosis here, which we're not going to do, but discuss smicha, b'shlichas, b'arichas here. And the Gemara says with smicha, you need both cases. What's both cases? So Rashi explains, smicha, l'misnei t'losa bave, the three categories in the Mishnah, b'masnitz m'cheskes shukayim. From the Mishnah said that you have to, a case, we assume that the guy's still alive. If he, what were the three cases again? If he left he brought a get and the husband was sick or old, we could assume he's alive. That's one chazaka. If the Bas Yisrael married a kohen and he went overseas, we could assume the kohen's alive. She could still eat truma. And the third case is the shaleh chatas, a person who sends a chatas. The kohen could assume that the sender is still alive and still be makruf. So why do we have these two cases? It's all the same underlying principle that we have hemed achaskas. So we assume the chazaka still exists. Whatever the status was before they left, that status remains. So Gemara explains v'tzricha. Di ashmuinan get, if we assume the case of get, that the husband can still be, is still alive, mishum delo efshar, because if we didn't assume that way, there could never be get either shlicha. So we always have to assume that the mishaleach is always alive when it comes to the world of get. Aval truma the efshar, aim alav. Truma, we could assume maybe the husband died and have the wife eat chulin until he returns back from Medina Sayam. So that's why we say, even when it comes to truma, we allow her to eat the truma. V'yashmeina and Chuma, if we taught the case of Chuma, that we could assume the Kohen's still alive, even though he's overseas. The Zimnan de Lefsher, sometimes it's actually impossible. Let's say there is no available Chulin, Rashi says, the Zimnan de Lo Efsher, Shehi Ania, she's a very poor woman, the Tzvicha Parnasa, she needs money, she needs food, the Titel Chuma, the base Kronos, and she has to go to the base Kronos to collect Chuma. So that case is very extreme, so we couldn't ask her from eating Chuma, because sometimes she needs the Chuma. Why is it worth the suffix? The husband, the man sent it from overseas. So you're right, you don't need smicha, but it's a suffix, maybe he died. So is it worth the risk of possibly bringing a chulun bazara? If the man died, you bring a chulun bazara, that's an isser. So maybe we shouldn't do that. Kamashlan, we could assume chazaka midiraisa that he's still alive and there's no suffix at all. And therefore you need all three cases. The interesting note here that Rav Yosef Enkel points out here in his Gilyon Yashas, Rashi says that if the woman is very poor, she could go to the base Granos and to collect the truma, which is the threshing fields where the farmers would deal with all the trumas and maisos. So the Gilyon Yashas quotes from elsewhere that the minog was that, and based on the Gemara, is that women would not go to the base Granos. It wouldn't be a place for them to go. They'd have to be sent home. They would send the truma home. It wouldn't be tzanua for her to go out to the fields and to the farms. So he just points it out. This Rashi seems to go against that Gemara that we have elsewhere. Okay, the Mishnah now tells us now, around halfway down Chof Chesam Rebeis, Shlosh Dvarim Amar Rabbi Eliezer ben Prata. Rabbi Eliezer ben Prata says three things Lefnei Chachamim. He said three things in front of the Chachamim. V'kaimu es Dvarav, and they had upheld all three statements. Al Ir Shekifu Karkum, if there was a city that was being surrounded by non-Jews, or Val Svina HaMutrefes Bayam, or a ship that was in a very bad storm in the sea, v'ahayote lidon, shemecha lidon, and a person is going out to be judged for dini nefashos. These are all cases of danger, but none of the cases are anything substantial yet. So the lach is shehein bechesed kaimin kayamim. You could assume each of these cases that people are still alive. They're dangerous, but not. We don't assume that they're dead. But if it's a city that was actually overtaken, not only surrounded, but overtaken by Goyim. Or Svina, they lost track, went off the radar. Or Hayote Laharog, where he's being going out to be taken to be killed, not to be judged for a Dinat Fash, but actually the judgment was handed down to him, and now he's being taken out to be killed. So even though in any of these cases you didn't see, there's no rayas that the person died, these three scenarios, Nosun Aleim, Chomir Chayim, Chomir Mesim, you have to be Machmir, that he's alive, but also be machmir that he's dead. What does that mean? You're machmir in both ends. So Bas Yisrael HaKohen, she cannot eat truma anymore because possibly the husband died. who bas kohen li Yisrael, and a bas kohen who's married to Yisrael, and if her husband dies, she goes back to her family. She also can't eat lo sochal shuma because we have to assume that maybe the husband's still alive and she's still attached to the Yisrael, and she can't eat shuma anymore. So we're machmir on both ends, there's not eating of shuma. Let me ask, what about the other way though? Let's say, actually, no, this is the other way. Okay. So these are the two chumras. We assume that the husband's alive, the chumra, and we assume that the husband's dead, the chumra as well. In each scenario, in all the scenarios, the woman may not eat chuma. The Gemara qualifies this mission and says, Amar of Yosef, lo shanu elo, bebeistin shal Yisrael. Our whole discussion is only talking about a Jewish bezdin. Why? So Rashi says, lo shanu, the yote leharok, no son of chomri chayim. When we take them out to be killed, in terms of the chumra of them still possibly being alive, that's only a possibility if it's a Jewish bezdin, could we assume he's still alive? Why? El bevestin shal Yisrael, shal achar gmar din, even though the din was handed down to him that he's going to be killed and stoned or strangled or burnt. So, zimnin de chazer le zichusa umachzir no so. Sometimes, even after the psak din's been given, the gmar din's been given, sometimes someone will find a certain zichus and bring him back to court to try to exonerate him. Based on the Gemara, Kedamarina Nigma Hardin, Hasus Rats Umamido. So they would have a horse waiting by Bezdin. What would happen is that they would start taking him out to the Beis Haskiyu, the Mishnah explains, and then someone down by the Bezdin figures out that he has a certain Zechus and evidence. They start waving a flag. You run and get the guy before he gets killed and bring him back. And they do this, they question how many times you should have to do this and what's considered a good enough Zechus. We don't want any games taking place here, but at the same time, we want to try to find any innocence if possible. So when it comes to the only time we could assume that we that Chumri Chaim, that he's still alive, even though he's being taken out to be killed, is when it comes to the Beis Din Shel Yisrael, who has such a concept of a Zechus, we could bring him back based on the Zechus even after the Gemara didn't. The Gemara says, Aval, when it comes to Bebez Din of the Chachavim, when it comes to a Goyish court system, came into Gamarle, Dina Lakatla, Mikta Katile. Once they decide that this person is going to be killed, the Jew's being killed, he's going to be killed, and there's no overturning the din anymore. So Amarle Abai based in Shalav Dikhavim Nami de Makabi Shochtin. No, what do you mean? There are ways out. You could bribe them. They were very willing to take money. So you give them money, and that's another way to override the rulings. So it's not so clear that when it comes to Goyisha courts, when he's going out to be killed, you have to assume he's dead. No, you could assume he's still alive because someone could bribe them. Interesting, the Chassam Sofer has a discussion whether or not you're allowed to bribe a Goyisha court. Are you allowed to? Let's say you know they gave the wrong psak din. So what they say, we don't have to follow up Pidin. Certainly when it comes to Din and Fashas, we don't follow them. Din and Mamunus, we do follow them. Din and Malchus, the Dina. But when it comes to Din and Fashas, and they're handing down a judgment to a Jew, we don't. They're not allowed to do that in our world. So are you allowed to bribe them in order to have a undo the incorrect ruling based on what they did? It's an interesting discussion that Chassam Sofer has. What did he say here? Let's bring some rise back and forth. But he has such a suffix only when it comes to the world of Dina Nefashos. When it comes to the world of Dina Mamonos, since they're Chayiv and Dinim, you can't give them Shocha, then it would be Asr. He doesn't bring any riots here, but that's an interesting discussion. You're allowed to bribe a non-Jewish court system in the world of Dina Nefashos.
This wouldn't be like Pigeon Shfulim kind of thing?
Ah, that'd be a very nice model, I guess. Yeah, maybe that'd be the model to use.
Are you allowed to break the law for pigeon shulam?
Well, dina and malchus adina is only in the world of monetary payments. So here, that's a good question. You could create a tremendous chil Hashem if you're caught. But it's pikuach nefesh. Depends. Interesting. I don't know. Comes to Chil Hashem, we say any mitzvah if Yagva Yavor only by the Gimel Averus. But if it's going to be Chil Hashem before Hesya, then even a small mitzvah, even a mitzvah Kala, the Gemara says one has to give it one's own life. So this might result in a Chil Hashem. Maybe a Savi Chil Hashem. I don't know. Will that pull it back. But in terms of violating the din, there's no, it sounds like there's no isser and shochad. There's no isser and shochad to a goy, it sounds like. The only reason why you can't do this for dinim and mamonis is because for them, since they have to keep the halachas of dinim, for them to accept it in their world, it's going to be lifnei iver for them to accept bribe, because that's going against their whole court system, which they created. So therefore, but giving shochad for dinim and fashas, it sounds like there's no isser involved. The only question would be if it would be chil Hashem, I guess. But he sounds like, it sounds like from the Chasam Sofer here, at least, I didn't read the whole thing inside, that it would be mutter. Okay. Gemara now says, Amrle ki shakle mekame dilachtom porse shinamag. Not sure how to pronounce that word. Okay, good. Lebasa demi chasem porse shinamag. Lo shakle. So the lacha is that if you take the money before they signed the gzardin, they would take money. But after they already signed the Gemara, then they wouldn't take money anymore. So he argues, he says, no, not true. Shochad does not work. Shochad works before the case is decided, but once the case is decided, it doesn't work anymore. And therefore, if a person is being taken out by a non-Jewish court to be killed, we don't assume Chomer Chaim. We only assume Chomer Meis. Meis Gemara asks, now, Kol Makom Shiyamdu Shnayim V'yomru Me'idim Anu Es Ish Ploni. If two people stand and say, we testify that this person, Ruvain, was Nigmar Dinam a Bezdin Shaploni. He already had a Gmar Din from a different Bezdin. Uploni, Uploni, Adav, and these were the names of the Adim. Harez the Yarok. And this is talking about a situation. It's the Gmar and Makos where he runs away from Bezdin A and they catch him in Bezdin B. So he has Adim to say, I was there. I saw him Bezdin A. He was given the Gmar Din. So Bezdin B doesn't have to go through the whole process. They could just accept those Adim and carry through. Harez the Yarok, he gets killed. So why do we assume he gets killed? Rashi says, Harez the Yarok. We don't assume that he could find the zechus after that fact. We don't look for a certain zechus. Maybe we should send them back to the other bezdin and where they had all the evidence, and there maybe someone could find the certain zechus. Nope. Once he's in the bezdin B, we don't do any other research. Boom, it's done. So we don't assume for that there's a zechus. We allow for zechus to come forward, but it's not something that we really think is going to happen. So the Gemara answers, no, shiny, Dilma Barech shiny, maybe Barech, a person who runs away, would be different. Why would he be different? The Gemara Rashi doesn't tell us why he might be different, but maybe the very fact that he ran away told us that he knew he had no zechus, and that's why he was running away, to try to escape death that he deserved. I'm not sure if that's what Peshat is, but that's how I understand it. Yeah, I think that's how it's being explained here in the Masifta as well. The Tiferes Yisrael, Tiferes Yaakov apparently says, since he's a person who escapes jail, they just call that guy the big drug lord in Mexico, he keeps escaping jail. So since he escaped jail once, he's concerned maybe he's going to escape jail another time. So we can't let him keep him alive any longer. We need to get rid of him before he causes more damage. Okay, the Gemara says now, Toshma, Shama mi Bezdin shel Yisrael. They heard from a Jewish Bezdin, Shehayu Omrim, that they were saying, Ish Ploni Meis, that Reuven had died. Ish Ploni Nerag, or Reuven had been killed. Yes, he was Ishto. You could marry his wife. It's anything that comes out of the mouths of the Dayanim and based in Shal Yisrael, you could assume it's true, and one can marry based on these statements. But if you hear from Mikom Trisin, Sheovdi Chochavim, hear from the Rashid Mamonim Laharog, the people who are in charge of killing. So, if you hear them say, Ish Ploni Meis, we saw Reuven die, or they said that Ish Ploni Nerag, or Reuven was killed, Al Yisu, Yasu as Ishto, one may not marry based on what these Goyisha people are saying. These Goyim are saying, why? My Meis, my Nerag, what's the case of dying and being killed? Ilema Meis, Meis Mamash, if Meis means he actually died, Nerag, Nerag Mamash, and he actually was killed. So the Chavas say, Gavi, of the Chavim Amailo. Why would, when by the Goyim, why don't we believe them? Amai al Yisu is Isha. Why don't we marry the wives based on their statements? Ha kaimulan dechol mesiach lifitomo haminu mehemnu lei. There's a concept in halacha that kol mesiach lifituma. When they're just speaking casually, nonchalantly, and they say something, and they're not trying to, they have no motive here, we could trust what they're saying. So in this case, if they happen to say Reuven died, they happen to say Reuven was killed, we should be able to trust them. So why do we say there's a difference between who's saying it? Ella, it must be lav meis yoti lemus nerag yoti leharag. It must be a case where a person is about to be killed, or he's about to die, and that there's a jump. It didn't happen yet, so then there's a distinction who you trust in what's being said. So Gemara says, and yet v'katani be based in Yisrael, yesus ishto. So even though based in Yisrael, we said above, if he's being taken out to be killed, we don't assume he's dead yet. Is possibly he's still alive. How come here we assume he's definitely dead? Why could you vaday marry this person's wife? So Gemara answered, liola meis mamish v'nerag mamish. No, really, it's a case where they said he really died, right, and he was really killed. So that's why we trust the dayanim of Yisrael. But shouldn't we also trust the dayanim of the goyim because of mesiach lefitumo? He's just talking nonchalantly, and we trust what he says when it's in such a way without a certain goal in mind. Why don't we trust them? So again, we're talking about liola meis mamish v'nerag mamish. Why don't we trust the goyim in this case? We trust them. So Gemara qualifies that statement. When it comes to the kol mesiach lefitumo, that's only honey mili de bemilsid lo shayach be, something that they're not shayach in, something that's completely irrelevant to them. Rashi says she'ina teferes lam, that's not a glorified for them. It's not something that they take pride in. That's when we trust them. If it's something completely separate from what they're involved in. Avab and Milsa the Shaykha, based on that they're involved in, then Avdi Lachtuke is Shikrayu. Then we don't trust them, they're considered liars. What does that mean? So Rashi says the last six lines up, that they get very excited and all this pride for killing. Avdi Lishakir, Velomar Narag, Alpha Pishalo, Haro, Velo Elio to the Din. They get so excited that they're Shaykh in it and it's going to happen. So even if they weren't actually killed, they're willing to say they were killed, nonetheless. So there's a limitation as to when we trust them and when we don't trust them. Should we go weiter here? Seems like it's a long yet. Yeah, I mean, we could probably run through this quickly and get to the Mishnah because it sounds like it's the same exact Shach Levataria as yesterday, as today, I mean. And we do have a lot of time here, but I feel bad for tomorrow. And what do you think? Well, I guess we'll stop here. It's a good starting point in terms of positioning. But it will probably the first by 30 seconds tomorrow we'll run through it. Okay. It's supposed to rain all day, do you know?